and we are ready to hear the word.
Thank you, Troy. He's so nice to me. You know, I was just thinking in worship there, as we sang that song, Fresh Wine and New Oil, and the pressing that is, well, that takes place in that process for something to come out of the actual fruit. And in the book of Revelations, it's interesting, it talks about the fact that, you know, those that overcome, I will grant for them to sit with me at my thrones. And he talks about these rewards and these crowns and these all these things that God has in place for those that overcome. And the truth is, we look at some people in their lives and it's such chaos, and we look at some of the things some people have to overcome, and maybe there's things in your life that you have to overcome. In God's kingdom, those things become opportunities. Those things become precious wine, precious oil, that when in the kingdom of God's economy, that is something that is so precious to him, that when the overcoming, when the pressing and the fruit of that is revealed, it's something that lasts through eternity. And we're singing that song here today. We sometimes get a very naturalistic sort of a temporal view of what life is and where we're going to be and position and what we're going to do and so forth. We need to get an internal view. What you're going through in life now is just preparing you for what's going to happen in life. And, you know, we've been through the Easter thing. We've just been through Anzac, and we're going to hopefully talk to some of that, but we're actually being prepared now today. You see, here's the thing. Jesus, God doesn't need my preaching gift and my teaching gift and my counseling. He doesn't need that stuff when I die. It's just something to use on the way through. We get so focused on the things we do, where God actually wants us to be really focused on who we are. And that's always in process. Last time I was preaching here, I was talking about vessels of honor and dishonor in the house of the Lord. And truth is, you can be a vessel of honor. You can be a vessel of dishonor. You can choose, but you're going to be in the house of the Lord no matter what. But also, as you become that vessel, it's there to contain something. It's there to contain something of the presence of God, that while you are here on earth, you have impact on someone else's life. And sometimes we just need to allow God's pressing and processing that's going on in natural ways to actually have its work within us. And as Troy mentioned, you know, we're just over in Australia. We've got two daughters and their husbands over there doing amazing things for God, and it's just tiring to watch their lifestyle and their busyness. Thought I was bad at that age, racing around doing things for God. And even in simple things, you know, I think as we progress just through natural ways in life, it was only back in January, I walked my youngest daughter down the aisle, and it was her wedding, obviously. And it's just we're preparing for that wedding. We had them. We rented this place overlooking the water. It was really nice. And every now and again, I'd go, I think I need to sit down. Because here's this beautiful young woman, very capable, trained, a professional, marrying a very good young man. And I'm so thankful. But in the transition off the heart of a father is you've got to give that away. And it's like, I don't know if I want to do that. It's funny with daughters, you know, they go through this beautiful stage, they're about to 9 and then into puberty and then into adolescence, and it's like you'd give them away at that stage. They were really nice prior to that, and then after they come through that again, they're this beautiful, really, and now interesting and capable people. Oh, I'd like to keep that, just have that around all the time. And then you give that away. But it's like that with God. He's actually preparing us. He's preparing us for something else. We're always in preparation. Kyle, I don't know if you're going to stay there or you're going to sit down. I don't mind either way, but it's entirely up to you. I love her playing doing that, but it's cool. So as we, and I'm just thinking of people today, just prophetically, as people, as we're worshipping new wine, new oil. Also in the book of Revelations, it talks about the fact that new wine, new oil. He says, the barley, the wheat for a certain amount of money, but touch not the oil and the wine. And he puts the oil and wine at such a high price because, again, the pressing, the issues that you go through in life, the things we struggle with sometimes are actually the things that add such value to us. It's the things that we allow God to process through our lives that actually bring great freedom and victory in other people's lives. And like I said, it's not the gifting, it's not the ability that is really that important through eternity. What's important through eternity is the character and what it is God's allowing you to have of Him now and then tomorrow, and then that gets added on the next day as well. So there's always a life in process. But last time I was here too, I first got up and I guess prophetically said something like, you cannot judge a dead man. And I want to go back and just have a look at some of those thoughts around that idea of what it is to be crucified in Christ Jesus and then to rise again in newness of life with Him. Because the beauty of it is in Romans in chapter 6 and 7, Apostle Paul looks at this and he talks about this idea and he puts a legal argument to the fact that you can't judge a dead person. Because of the dead, they've got nothing to answer for. And for the dead, you can't put the charges on them. If the dead, there's actually no response. If the dead, there's nothing to pay. And God calls us, strangely enough, He invites us into both His death and His resurrection. So it's an invitation that comes that we, by faith, partake of both His death and His resurrection. But you can't have resurrection without the death. And sometimes we want all the good stuff in life. We want all what's going to, we think, prosper us, and it's going to be amazing, the rest of it. But sometimes to move even into the next phase of life, there needs to be a death and a giving away of something that we can actually begin to walk into that which is new. And it's a seed principle that is also very fundamental to the kingdom of God, which is that a seed goes into the ground and it first dies. It sits in the ground and it rots for a time. And that beautiful process of sitting in the ground and rotting for a while is called germination. Ever experienced that in life? Where you feel like you've just sat in the ground and you're just rotting. God, what are you doing with me? What's going on with life? You can't possibly, God cannot possibly be in this. And maybe that you're in a process of germination. It's maybe that that God's invited you into His death that you might be resurrected. Because that is the fundamental principle of how God works. And when we come into the gospel, which only requires two things, which is faith and repentance, that is it. Sometimes it's as simple as that we die to our own good works. Oh, look at me, I can do this. Aren't I amazing? I can achieve this thing. But God actually says, no, son. We've got to get you in the ground and let you die a little bit. That germination process can take place, that then the real life can come out of that seed, that potential that is purposed and predestinated for your life. But again, not just this life. Not just this life. Back in the 1400s, there was a group of people called the Moravians, and their catchphrase was that the Lamb of God, that He might receive the reward of His suffering. And they would go off as missionaries. They're an amazing missionary church. They're based in, I think, the Czech Republic back in about the 1400s. And what they would do is they would ship themselves off to different parts of the world to preach the gospel. They would build these coffins and they put all their gear in it, as was the custom of many missionaries back in the day, they'd be waving to family. And as they were on the shores, as they were waving their family off, who had their coffins and all their gear in it, they'd cry out this cry, that the Lamb of God might receive the reward for his sufferings. And that was the catchphrase, that was the cry, as you'd send your children, your brothers, your sisters, off to the mission. That the Lamb of God might receive the reward of his suffering. The catchphrase of the Moravians. Because they understood that something needed to go off and to die to spring up. And those Moravians, great revivals, the great healings. Not only that, but civilization came up through because of the word they spread throughout the world. And many others. And we've just gone through, haven't we, just through Easter. We've just gone through a time of Easter where we've celebrated, you know, Good Friday. And this represents when Jesus died. And I used to wonder, why the heck would you call it Good Friday? Because it's good for us. Not so good for God. Not so good if it was you, if you were Jesus. And then we come through and we go, hey, but wait, Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming where resurrection takes place. 3 days, three nights in the belly of the earth, so to speak, who overcome death and hell, and he took the grave, the keys of the grave, and he caused resurrection life to come for you and I. So freedom is expensive. And then we've just had Anzac Day. Freedom is expensive. Freedom is so expensive. You look at the price of the cross. You look at the price of these Moravians we just talked about. And if you think of Jesus, I always like to think the fact that the very best of heaven came to rescue me. Man. And I tell that personally, that hits my emotions. That hits me in my belief system. When I try to sometimes put myself down and think badly or poorly of myself, have those negative thoughts, those things of, I can't do this. I remember when I was studying, because I was dumb enough to go and study at the tender young age of 50, and it's like, what am I doing? Idiot, what? But God would often come and you could just sense the pleasure of God and the study and the calling to do that which he calls you to do. Although it's incredibly difficult. Especially for dyslexic like me. God often calls us to do the difficult things. Why? Because he wants to bring freedom into other people's lives. He wants to bring freedom first into yours. But freedom is extremely expensive. It costs the very best of heaven for this redemption plan to take place in both your life and mine. So we've just been through Anzac Day as well. Whilst we were over in Melbourne just the other day, we went for a walk through what do they call that, Susan, the shrine thing? Yes, yeah, it's a memorial to the fallen soldiers. And it's a big thing, walk through it, and the courtyard is part of the gardens in Melbourne, big, beautiful gardens, and it's got like a cross thing, and here's the shrine at the end of it. And a bit built like this church in the sense, I love this church in the sense of the floor plan is actually a cross. So they've repeated that sort of idea in many places as well. And you think of the price that some people have paid in the world wars that have gone before us also, because freedom is extremely expensive. And I think of my granddad, who I never met, Cyril Ward, and his wife, May. So Cyril went off to, he was the youngest, I think, of five. I could be wrong on that. And then he had five kids. He went through World War I, and he married later in life. And then my father, who was one of his five kids, at the end of that, married later in life as well. and here I am. So that's why I can have a grandfather who was in World War One. But freedom is very expensive. Because they all went off to war, as a lot of young guys did back in the day, thinking adventure. Cyril came back, amazingly, he actually made it, with post-traumatic stress disorder. That post-traumatic stress disorder affected the generations down through the lines of my family and my cousin Karen, who's here with us today as well, who Cyril was actually her great-grandfather. And what that cost was, because of the undealt with trauma, is that it caused addictions in our family. It caused mental illness. It caused relational difficulties. So the price for Cyril to go off and to actually be involved in war, we're still paying for through generations today and now. Until some of us draw a line in the sand and say, no, enough is enough. And today I stop that thing. That mental illness, those addictions, whatever issue it is that tries to hinder any family. So today, I just feel that God wants us to understand a few things. Freedom is expensive. But the price is worth the freedom. And Jesus says that, hey, if you were the only person that I was coming to rescue, I'd pay that price. It's amazing. Just me? Yes, just you. Now, we want to have a look. We haven't even read scripture, sorry. Let's go. We're going to do this very quickly. Oh, Lord, help me. We're going to do this very quickly. We're going to look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 7 and verse 1 says this. Do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking of those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only so long as he lives. And there's another scripture in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And we don't have time to go through this whole discourse, but Apostle Paul here is speaking to the Roman church, and he's saying, well, let's understand who Paul is for a start. So Paul is basically a lawyer, put it that way. He's a lawyer that thought what he was doing was so right and so correct, and he thought he had it sorted, that he was going out and killing Christians because they had it so wrong, and he was basically ISIS, he's a terrorist, he's going out and doing all this stuff until Jesus knocked him off his donkey. A light came to him, he had a revelation, he was blind for 3 days, there's a guy come along and pray for him, and away he began to actually become into relationship with something of God instead of just the legalities of something that he understood in his mind. But it took an encounter with God to change that killer mindset to a mindset of, actually, this is about redemptive power of God, not about how good I am, but about how good God is. So he had this idea in his mind, he used to, and he was changed his name. It used to be Saul, it was changed to Paul. And in that, there's this whole changing of identity, there's a changing of purpose, there's this changing of who it is and how you walk. And, you know, the way it reads in the book of Acts, if you look at Paul's life, there looks like he got knocked off the donkey this day, and he just changed, and it was amazing, and got his eyesight back, that's cool, and it looks like he was out doing his thing straight away. Now, it was about 14 to 16 years, theologians tell us, between the time of when he actually really began to go out into ministry and to do what it was that God had called him to do. So it just took a wee bit of mind for Paul to be discombobulated. Because it's like, what have I been doing? So when he says in some of his writings things like, I am the worst sinner of all sinners, he means it. when he says things that I do, those things which I wish I wasn't doing, and those things I shouldn't be doing, I do, and he's lived it. He's one of the greatest apostles that was. And in this discourse, he's pointing us to the fact that you cannot lay on anybody who's dead judgment. You can't do it. The legal process goes something like this. You get arrested. This happened to me when I got saved. I got arrested by the Holy Spirit years ago. I was a week out from my 15th birthday, 10th of October. I was a week out from my 15th birthday. I was off to do some stuff because I was a bit of a delinquent. And basically, the Holy Spirit arrested me. And not that I heard this verbally, but in me, in my heart, I heard this beautiful, gracious sense of, that's far enough, son, that is far enough. And I've been, you know, detained by police before, but this was like both really scary and beautifully gracious at the same time. And the goodness of God is the thing that leads us to repentance. So it caused me to go, took my breath away, and then it was a case of, okay, and I turned around, I was heading to a friend's place to be getting in trouble and do more trouble, and I went back home, and I said to God, because the gospel only, it only requires two things, it requires repentance and belief. And I was somewhat annoyed because I was quite a self-willed young man. Went home and I went to my bedroom and I got with God and I said, well, stuff it, Lord, I've become a Christian. And that was my sinner's prayer. Because the gospel only requires two things. It requires repentance. Well, that was me turning around, going home and not going to do what I was going to do. And a belief that actually, Lord, yeah, I agree with you now. And as God began to mount my will, well, here we go. I'm still around. But that's all the gospel required. It just requires two things. Repentance and belief. And you can believe in somebody. You can believe something about them. I can believe about Ethan Black down the back here that he's going to put on a bangers and mash night, and he did a really cool thing with a whole meat night a month or so ago. I can know all about him. I can believe, oh, that's the bangers and mash guy back there. And the drummer here today. Oh, he's that guy. But it's not until you come in relationship with and have a discussion that you believe them. That you begin to know who they are. Now, we can believe, oh, that's that Jesus guy. Yeah, he's God. I can sort of believe that. Yay. No, but God calls us into a relationship where it's now a conversation that I begin to rub shoulders with, and some of what he has rubs off on me. And as Paul says, that I begin to die and become smaller, that he might become bigger in my life. We sang that today. We sang a song very similar to that thought. Why? Because, you know, I just thought, I love Darren's heart when he gets up to talk. It's like, oh, just all the glory to God. I mean, I want to go to Alpha, buddy, I do. Why? Because God's the one who needs to get the glory. He's the one that actually needs to be able to be seen in you. You know, we say this saying, don't we? You know, let's invite Jesus into our life, and you know, it's about us getting better and so forth. It's actually about Jesus has invited us into his life that he might be seen and recognized in the person of who Kaya is, in the person of who Ethan is, that he might be seen in us and glorified, that we might love one another. And that's such a strange thing, that love for one another is such a demarcation of these people. Who the hang are these people? Because they love on each other. That we might lift Jesus up by doing so. And that all men might be drawn unto him. And that's what true evangelism is. Oh, Lord, I invite you into my life. Yeah, well, there's kind of truth to that. But actually, he invites us into his life. Well, how do I get into that life of his? You die. You come to the cross. You know those aspects of your life, those sinful bits, those attitudes that we have at times? Those bits we don't want to be in our lives. Or maybe we do, actually. Sometimes we really enjoy them. But Jesus comes along, Holy Spirit comes along, and he convicts. And he puts his finger on that thing. And he goes, Rog, that thing needs to die. Well, what do? We take that to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we allow it to do just that. We allow it to fall down dead, but with the promise that God will actually raise something of life out of that mess. Because to him, those bits in our lives are actually precious. They are like the fruit of the grape. They are like the olive that comes from the tree. And if we allow the pressing, there's something powerful that can come out of that. You know that wine has an intoxicating part of it called alcohol? And alcohol used to be used as very much as an anesthetic process in people's, you know, as they're having operations, which would have been rough back in the day. So God comes with his anesthetic of the Holy Spirit if we allow him in our lives at times. As the grape is crushed, the pulp on that becomes useless because it's only actually the wine that the grape contains that is of something of good, but it is of tremendous use. The olive, when it's pressed, the oil that comes out of that, it has properties that can both heal and soothe. And did you know you put it in a lamp and you can cause it to go on fire through a wick? That's what they used to do in the temple days. So the pressing, that hard thing, becomes something that can become both intoxicating and full of fire and heat all the same time. Back in Revelations again, he says you can have the barley and the wheat for the certain price, is quite cheap, but the oil and the wine, ooh, don't you touch that. That's the precious thing to God, those things that you go through that are difficult. And God asks us to come and go through things that are difficult. And it can be as simply as, you know, somebody says something to you. There's issues in your work, your marriage, whatever. Do you know that marriage for a man is what we're called to do? We get the raw deal here. The Bible says that we are to love your wives as Christ loved the church. He died for that baby. True men are men that know what it is to die for. Isn't it men, some, you know, and again, if we look at history, and there's a sociological idea that says that men are disposable, which isn't true, but it's an interesting idea, because society always needed people to go off and do the war thing. Society needs people to go off and dig the mine thing, get in that hole and dig it. Go off and do the dangerous jobs, the things we're going to get you killed. Well, let's get the men to go off and do that. See ya. But the society, we needed somebody to go and do that. It's caused somewhat of a disposable idea and men's thinking. That's why we've got a higher suicide rate with men than we do with women. Part of that reason. Why am I saying that? God has called us to die, but not in that sort of sense, but actually die to self. You know, I've been married 35 years. Am I close, Susan? 34, coming up to 35. And it's still, you think you'd have this together by now, right? It's a daily challenge. I want to do my thing. We're called to die. Because out of that becomes new life. But you got to understand one last thought as we come to an end. Your condition is not your position. Well, what do you mean by that, Rog? Your position with God is that you are forgiven. Your position with God is that you are righteous. Your position with God is that you are holy because He has made you holy by the blood of the Lamb. That's your position. It's up here. It's that you're seated with Him in heavenly places. Your condition might be, oh, well, I've got this problem, that problem, this addiction, this thing going on over here, this issue, this relational issue over here. I need some money. I've got all these conditions going on. But your position is not your condition. If you want your condition to change, you've got to be looking up to your position of who you actually are. Don't just get stuck in the position and the struggle of life and who I am. I'm in the press. I'm just pulp. I'm being suppressed. You don't know what it's like. But in faith, knowing that actually that pressing, that crushing is creating something that is actually going to help through eternity in your position also. That has great value. There's a difference between your condition and your position. Bible says that we are ambassadors from another country, from another place. We're aliens on this earth, only here for a short time. So my position is one of ambassador. My condition is, maybe I'm going through some difficult stuff. But the Bible also says, look to the hills from whence comes my help, because my help comes from the Lord. So my orientation needs to be one of an upward modality. It needs to be one that looks up continually and not look down at the struggle, the strife, the muck, the mire of where I might currently be in my condition. My position is a son of God. My position is one who has the blood of Jesus Christ applied to him. What qualifies you? The blood of Jesus Christ. Who said you could do that? The blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that freedom, that sounds kind of expensive. It's supposed to. It was expensive for Jesus. As I process through now, all he needs is my obedience, my cooperation. All he needs is my obedience, my cooperation. But just to start off this journey with God, all he's requiring is my faith. All he's requiring is my repentance. Repentance is just, I think I changed my mind. I think that was wrong what I was thinking. When I was a kid, I think, yeah, maybe that's not a good idea. That feels like trouble that way. I think I'll head over down back home and get with God. It starts with that. And that's the good news. This ain't hard work. Bible says that, come unto me all ye that are weak and lowly, poor of heart. I'll give you my yoke. You come alongside me, I'll do the work through you. But you got to learn what it is to be connected. You got to learn what it is to be connected to him. That means I have to put off some of my old ways of doing things, my old mindsets. What's that? That's called repentance. Repentance isn't always just great emotion and crying. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's actually, oh, that's not a great idea. I think I'll rethink that. I see how you do that now, Jesus. I would like to do and be more like you. So today, as we are called and God is calling to us, you know, is it the fact that you found God, or did God find you? God came, he found me. He came and found me. And just as we've been visiting our kids and, you know, as part of the wedding, the father gives a speech. And one of the things I said about my daughter is this, that she is starting on a better platform than her or that I did or a mother did. Because you draw a line in the sand and somebody changes the thing for the next generation. Somebody changes the platform, gives them a higher one. And one thing also said is that, you know, when your kids are grown up, when they tell you off, which my daughters do. And my daughter once said to me, I'm a better adult than you, Dad. Because I was doing this thing online trying to... And at that stage of life, in fact, she is a better adult than I was at that stage of life. And that brings joy to my heart. And they'll go further than I'll go. They'll do better than I would do. Just been over observing both our daughters and their husband's lifestyle, and it's exhausting, the things they're doing and for God. But it gives great joy. Freedom is expensive. The price has been paid by Jesus. But there's a price to be paid for you, by you too. Was there's actually coming into line with what he's doing. And sometimes one of the hardest things is when we're criticized and somebody says something about us that we don't see, because we actually look at ourselves through blinkers. We don't see the other stuff that's out here that actually could do us harm. And sometimes people come into our lives and say, hey, Troy, you need to la, 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 la. And sometimes they do it in a good sense. Some people do it in a bad way. Who cares? But here's the thing you want to do with that. You want to take that thing, what everybody says, that criticism, and you want to own that small pain. You know why criticism hurts so much? Why it really hurts? Because usually with criticism, there's something in that criticism that's kind of true. Ow. Well, now that you say that, I can kind of see that, or I can't. But it hurts so much because there's a bit of truth in there. What do? You take that bit of truth and you work on that and you allow God to do the rest. But we start this from this free place. We start this whole journey from this place of, God, you have paid the price. I'm not in trouble with him anymore. And today, as every eye is closed and perhaps every head is bowed, I just want to give you an opportunity today, and I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer. But I'll give you the opportunity today that you want to perhaps be part of this life that Jesus is talking about. And if that's you today, you want to respond to Jesus and you want to pray a sinner's prayer, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to put your hand in the air right now. If you want to place, thank you, I see the hand. If you want to ask today, you'd like to just agree with him. And maybe it's about also, look, I'm a Christian, I get that, but actually there's parts in my life that need to die. And I'd like prayer for that. And I'm not going to get you up the front today, we're just going to do a general prayer for this. But again, if that's you, could you place your hand in the air? And I'd like to pray for you as well. Thank you, I see that hand. Is anyone else today, you really want to just, actually there's a price to pay, Jesus paid the price for me, but I actually want to be new wine, I want to be oil that actually can have a healing and a burning, flaming effect at the same time. Is anyone today that wants to pray for that effect as well? Jesus. Okay. Let's pray. Let's all pray this sinner's prayer. Father, I come to you today, and I acknowledge that I am completely wrong, and that you, God, are completely right. And I thank you for your son, that he came and he paid the price. And Lord, I agree with him today when he said, it is finished. And simply by faith and belief in who you are, I am today a son or a daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, I just pray too for all of us who are in process. We haven't made it yet. That we go away from this place knowing that our condition is not our position. As the Apostle Paul laid out in the book of Romans and chapter 6 and 7, that we have actually died with Christ. Lord, that we would identify a daily basis that I have identified, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to my own will, I'm dead to my own stupidity, but I'm actually relying on you, Lord God, for newness of life. And I have a legal case. Thank you for the courts of heaven. They have legally freed me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you today, Lord, that freedom is not cheap. It's very expensive. Lord, we thank you that you pay the price for our freedom. But Lord, we also pray for resurrection power. We thank you for oil, the wine. Lord, we thank you for anesthetic properties. We thank you for properties that heal. We thank you for properties today, Lord. I pray over this congregation in Jesus' name, prospered properties, Lord, that cause flame and heat and light to many peoples throughout this community in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for it, Lord God. In Jesus' name, everyone's here. Amen. Thank you, Troy.
Thank you, Roger. I'm just going to